Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, we'll start the show here in just a second, but first, here's a word from Stephanie Miller.
Well, you've tried it all and it's not getting better, right? You don't sleep well, which makes you irritable, on edge all day. And then there are the other days when you're just down, nothing feels right. It's not your fault. There's a lot of that going around. If you're into natural alternatives, you're going to love this. CB Distillery, America's trusted source for CBD products, created a breakthrough compound. It is called CBN. And when combined with CBD, it interacts with our regulatory system responsible for sleep, emotional response, discomfort, perception, inflammation, even memory. Bottom line, this is the natural path to better sleep, a calm mind and body, managing discomfort after physical activity. And with over 2 million customers, a money-back guarantee and no prescription required, CB Distillery. It's the source we trust. Visit cbdistillery.com. Enter the code Stephanie for a huge introductory discount. Again, that code is Stephanie at cbdistillery.com. We use it all here at the Stephanie Miller Show, the gummies, the soft gels, the tincture, and I use that salve on my sore muscles. We love it. You will too. cbdistillery.com. Don't forget, type in Stephanie. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
1 Karen 12, 1 Karen 12. See the man.
This fall on NBC.
See the black man minding his own business and asking that you please keep your dog on a leash. Code 3.
Come right along with the high-geared excitement of Karen 12. As the pulse of threatened irrelevance beats on, rev up with action-packed neighborhood nosiness prowls. Karen 12.
1 Karen 12, 1 Karen 12. See the black family holding a barbecue at the lake. Complain the family isn't following park rules. Call the police.
A stakeout of the local grocers.
1 Karen 12. Be advised, grocer is requiring you to wear a mask when entering the store. Please proceed to Trader Joe's on Balboa Boulevard, Granada Hills. Walk around without a mask until someone notices you. Make a scene. Throw a tantrum. Complain about your rights. Handle code batshit.
Breaking up a normal, peaceful situation.
1 Karen 12. 1 Karen 12. Forget it. You're useless.
It's Karen 12 from the people who brought you She's a Dragnet this fall on NBC. In color.
Bob Seska.
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show.
Karen 12, another classic from Rocky Mountain Mike. Rocky underscore mountain underscore Mike on Instagram. Go follow him right now. You'll be so glad you did. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, April 29, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 100 of the Biden-Harris administration, 557 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska underscore go. And here come the goth ninjas. Oh, wait, shit. You know what?
It's fine.
This is from last week. You know what, damn it. Okay, so that's the T-Rex. That's the T-Rex jingle. So let's get rid of that, and we'll just play the Jody one now, too. So, just for good measure, right?
Jody on the show.
All right.
That's what we're waiting for.
I'm an idiot.
I'm gonna talk with Seska.
That's me.
And T-Rex some more.
Hey, it's David.
Yeah. Who?
Nothing really grows with Jody on the show.
Yep.
With Seska.
With Seska.
That's me, okay. Well, see, that I recovered nicely from that one. How about it?
Yeah.
Okay, it is.
You can't go wrong. That jingle is so good-natured.
It's wonderful. Thank you again, Rocky Mountain Mike. So it is Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from the-bunker.com, also sexyliberal.com, and patreon.com/from the bunker. Please support her Patreon, her and Sean Barton. Also, David Ferguson. We call him T-Rex from the T-Rex Report podcast. Patreon.com/the-T-Rex Report. Also at astralsummer.bandcamp.com. All right, Goth Ninjas, lots of stuff to talk about today. We had a big joint session speech last night from Joe Biden. But first things first, I have a fact check slash correction here at the top of the show. And it's much to my chagrin because I posted this all over social media yesterday. It was I posted it on Twitter. Well, I should say I just retweeted someone else on Twitter, which was my first mistake. And then I screen grabbed it and posted it on Instagram, too. You know the Joni Ernst thing from yesterday where she was on the floor of the Senate and she had a giant placard behind her and it had all of these things written on it about the liberal agenda? Did you guys see this?
Sex blimps.
Yeah, sex blimps.
You can go to restaurants.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, well, it was a thing and it said Liberal Fantasy Island, and then it had a graphic of an island in the middle of the ocean. And then a bunch of logos superimposed on top of it. It said, for example, expand the court. It said Green New Deal. It's then the made up ones. And this is, I'm jumping to the end here, but the rest of them were photoshopped in there. It said sex blimps. It said, it said abolish lasagna. I think that was the other one. Only gay people get to go to restaurants.
That's my favorite. I'm all for that. We're excellent tippers.
Well, everybody, yeah, you're excellent tippers. Everybody's very good looking.
Yeah.
Fashion forward. I mean, come on, let's go.
I think the one that should have tipped me off was, it was just the raised protest fist, that graphic under it reading, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. For some reason, it's
what?
Inconceivable what that even
Bob.
Means. So everyone was retweeting it. Just, I mean, it's a horrible
fantastic.
Way to defend yourself to say other people did it too, but other people did it too. I saw Hal Sparks did it this morning, and then I watched the whole video, and of course it didn't say any of those things, where it said sex blimps. It was actually.
I love that phrase though. Just those two. It's like one of those candy hearts that the artificial intelligence makes.
Yeah.
Have you seen those? They say things like fart booby. Right. You know, sex blimps.
That's what I announced on Instagram. I said, as soon as COVID is over, I'm chartering a sex blimp. Who's with me?
Absolutely.
Because my God. But it seems like
Dr. Freud.
I mean, once again, it's like satire matching truth, really, because. Mm-hmm. These are the sorts of things that the Red Hats, the conservative movement, the Red Hat Entertainment Complex, these are the sort of things that they come up with all the time.
Right.
They're always making up shit about whatever liberals and Democrats are doing. So it makes perfect sense that there would be something that was percolating on AM talk radio or something like that about liberal sex blimps. So that's why initially I'm going, well, yeah, okay. This is what Republicans
makes
are upset
sense.
About. Yeah, this is the new thing. We're going to have to swat down our liberal
sex. Hey, they were upset about Dr. Fucking Seuss and Potato Head.
Yeah.
And meat.
And meat.
When are you guys going to have your hamburger this month?
And plant-based beer.
That's plant-based right. beer. Yeah, I want some lamb-based beer, thank
I
you.
I mean, come
yeah.
on. Seriously.
Give me some veal-based beer, baby.
God, the abolish lasagna one. I mean... That had to have been
well, as long as it's made with like impossible meat or beyond meat, it's fine. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Well, and the meat thing, by the way, is completely made up. There is no attempt to ban meat, even though, as we said on Tuesday's show, we should restrict the amount of meat we produce in
we
this
should,
country
absolutely.
Because it is killing us all, and by us all, I mean the entire human population of this planet and a lot more. But you know, first things first, we got to take baby steps on our way mm-hmm. to solving the existential crisis of our time. Right?
Right.
We got to nurse them along. We got to help the Republicans in little teeny tiny steps on their way toward, saving themselves, which is ultimately what they'd be doing if they finally got on board with the existence of the climate crisis. But, you know, I mean, so obviously you can't talk about anything like the climate crisis when they're off with, you know, whatever they're making up about meat and whatever Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan are telling their audiences. Well, I want to get into the Tucker, Joe Rogan thing, but more specifically the Joe Rogan thing here in just a couple of minutes. But let's dig into Joe Biden's remarks last night. First of all, such a breath of fresh air. I mean, how great was that to just be able to watch a president being presidential without having to worry about, you know, whatever insanity he was going to blurt, without having to see his inflamed scrotum face screeching at a monotone for an hour and a half about how great he is. It's like, yeah, like Rude Pundit, I think, had one of the best tweets of the night. He said, "It's so nice to not have an orange nutsack yelling at us about how awesome he is." So it was perfect. Yes, that's again.
Be completely honest, I got a little bored at one point, but just because I don't, you know, I'm ADD and I get twitchy.
Yeah.
I sit still for too long, but I was just like, it's such a relief to not be hanging on the edge of my seat by my fingernails, waiting for the next preposterous lie.
That's right.
And the next, you know.
Well, that was what Tim Scott was for.
God, he was awful. That was just awful.
Right.
I know he said people call me an Uncle Tom. I literally called him that, like, 10 seconds before he said it.
Oh my God. Well, this was the weird thing about Tim Scott's response to Joe Biden's agenda. And that's what the opposition response is always supposed to be. We're going to take the things that were mentioned in the main speech and we're going to tear them apart, or we're going to give our own view of how to solve these problems, or we're just going to reject the existence of the problems in the first place. One of those things is usually the standard operating procedure for one of these response addresses. But Tim Scott's response to Joe Biden's agenda was to tell us about some asshole who called him the N-word while at the same time announcing that America isn't a racist country.
Right.
That didn't make any sense to me. No. Okay, so I'm going to set up the announcement that America is not a racist country by explaining about this alleged liberal dickhead who called Tim Scott the N-word, and then also about how, you know, he's followed around by the authorities, and just basically Tim Scott enumerating all the different ways in which people have been racist to him. But yet America is not a racist country. But that was, I think, the general thrust of Tim Scott's remarks. And it didn't make any sense whatsoever.
I felt like it was the first State of the Union rebuttal to have a laugh track.
Yeah. Sure,
sorry,
sure.
That's a joke for something we were saying before the tape started rolling, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
we were pointing out that the episode with Carol Burnett on The Twilight Zone is the first one with a laugh track.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just going back to what you were saying, David, about it being a little bit boring in parts. Well, look, I mean, again,
I don't care.
Just to repeat what you were saying, David, finally, you know, make politics boring again. Seriously, it's okay for the president to be boring. It's okay for members of Congress to be boring. Politics is kind of supposed to be boring. It's only in recent history has it become a blood sport. Leave it to people like us on podcasts and on blogs and on Twitter to make it exciting. But leave the
Ted Cruz was bitching that Biden hasn't tweeted anything of interest his whole
time. I thought that was Tom Cotton.
Yeah,
Tom Cotton.
One of those.
It just it made my brain bleed because I'm like, that's contrary to what you might think. That's not your job.
That's right.
Your job is not to quip. And to podcast and to make outrageous statements and wait for, you know, the applause line.
And say things like you've invented the question mark.
Exactly. The president is not supposed to blow your skirt up. That's not the role of the president. The president is supposed to competently run the federal government. That is the president's job. He has his finger, or eventually she has her finger, on the nuclear button. This makes the job immensely serious and not the purview of dickheads, weirdos, and freak dogs. And that's what the difference is between Democratic governing and Republican governing. Now, the California recall may disabuse me of that notion entirely, because we're probably going to see a lot of
Randy Quaid. Oh my God, Randy Quaid.
Well, we're probably going to see some Democratic freak dogs in there too. And that's upsetting.
I don't know. I honestly, because this being here, the recall is really being thrust by conservatives that were bitching and moaning about us not opening up. And guess what? We have the lowest positivity rate in the country right now. Thank you very much, Gavin Newsom.
Right.
So let's recall him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is a thing that the Republicans are pushing, but it's not going to keep Democrats from jumping.
Well, it's not
going to
keep
mix.
your far lefty, you know,
Rose
Twitter guys and your sickle and hammer guys from. But I don't think this is going to be as horrific as the previous one with Governor Davis, because the problem with Governor Davis was, which I didn't have a problem, but what happened was he had lowered the registration fees for licensing your car for registration for a while, because we had a nice budget surplus for a while.
Yeah.
And then forget what happened, fires, earthquakes, whatever happened. So he needed to, you know, get some more income back. So basically what he did was he brought the fees back up to what they were like 3 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And people started bitching.
Yeah. Of course they did. Mostly it's about, don't you dare tell us to stay home and wear a mask, you bastard, you. And you
right.
know, it's not like he's telling Californians to go and storm the beaches at Normandy or to right. invade Peleliu or something like that. This is not that kind of sacrifice.
Well, the difference, I think, between this also and then was the front runners right now are not Daryl Issa and Governor Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, yeah.
And Daryl Issa started the initial recall of Governor Davis, by the way, because he wanted mm-hmm. to be governor.
Right.
So if Daryl Issa runs again, he knows he ain't going to win again because he's running against Caitlyn Jenner and Randy fucking Quaid.
Oh, my God.
And I know everybody thought that my mother was going to be running for the governorship when she was trending under politics on
oh,
Monday.
Shit.
No, she's not running for governor. Yeah. Just letting you guys know. But it's and Newsom is more liked than Gray Davis was.
Mm-hmm.
In general.
Yeah.
And he's a better speaker. He's more charismatic. Gray Davis was just kind of a lump. Newsom is super charismatic.
Right. He really, really is.
I was just like, what kind of person has the surname? I heard the name Gray. And then I heard him talk, and I was like, that guy.
Right.
He might as well have been named Beige.
Right.
You know?
No, and he wasn't a terrible governor. He wasn't a great governor, but he wasn't terrible by any stretch of the imagination. And with Schwarzenegger, because he is, as accent or not, he's a good public speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And people liked him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he only won with 35% of the vote, don't forget. So.
Right. Yeah,
it wasn't like he got 51% of the vote. And that's the problem with our laws here. That it's just the person that gets the most votes. It doesn't have to be the person that gets 50% plus. It's just the person that gets the most votes during the recall.
Jesus, no
I
more.
Mean,
no political tourists. Stop doing this. And this whole recall thing is going to be just a cavalcade of political tourists all lining up.
I mean, we're not going to get some people again. I mean, a friend of ours actually got on the ballot. But Angeline will probably run again.
Yeah.
It's just our recall law is stupid, first off.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it's costing me money and I don't want this to happen. It's going to cost taxpayer money.
Yeah.
And most likely Newsom will pull it out because Daryl Issa is not liked barely outside of where he is a representative. And the other two front runners, just by name recognition, if Randy Quaid actually does do it. I mean, come on, Caitlyn Jenner, she killed somebody. Sorry.
Yeah. Right.
She killed somebody and got away with it. So I'm sorry. I don't want to murder her. Plus, she doesn't know anything about running. If you want to do this, Caitlin, fantastic. Run for the city council in Malibu where you live.
Well, the killing
Start
someone.
There.
Yeah. The killing something. The killing someone is just the first item on a long, long list of reasons why Caitlyn Jenner and so many others just should never get into politics at all. It's like,
well, and if you're going to do it, start small. Get on the school board. Get on. Run for dog catcher. Do something.
That's how I feel about Jill
learn.
Stein. I'm like, if you want us to take you seriously. As a candidate, go hold office somewhere before you're trying for that goddamn White House.
Well, let's get back into Joe Biden's remarks from last night. Just a few more highlights for those of you who missed it.
We are going to have a Rudy Schadenfreude Fest.
Absolutely.
Today,
right? We absolutely will.
I just
needed
to make absolutely sure we're not going to get too like kumbaya.
Stand by. Right. Lots of historic moments last night. One of them was Joe Biden telling trans youth, your president has your back. You know, I don't think that's ever happened before. He also said trickle-down economics never worked, and it's time to grow the economy from the middle out. More history right there, putting another nail in the coffin of trickle-down economics, which was decades too late. I mean, we knew somewhat into the 80s that this was just bullshit, and we shouldn't be doing this kind of economic policy. But yet, it survived for some reason, just because the forces of propaganda just continue to beat it to death. And so that's what makes this, the reason it's so revolutionary is not because trickle-down economics somehow worked and then stopped working. It's never worked. It's revolutionary because it flies in the face of propaganda that's been foisted upon us by mostly the Republican Party, but to a certain extent, some moderate Democrats, too. And it's just infuriating. But another bit of history, he referred to white supremacy last night as
terrorism.
And that was another big fucking deal. In fact, I envisioned Stephen Miller jumping up in his chair and going, hey, I'm not a terrorist. Wait, shit. You know what I mean?
It totally happened.
Yeah. Plus, you know, President Biden wants to end cancer. And
I can talk about that.
Yeah, I immediately thought of you, Jody, and your family, and your.
My mom actually, because I was texting her back and forth during the president's speech last night.
Wow.
And mom texted back. She goes, "I was blessed to have spent time with him in his office when he was vice president, talking about Beau and Kerry when he was the vice president. He is a good man."
Wow. Holy shit. That's a hell of a fucking
She spent about 20, 25 minutes with him when he started as vice president, the moon launch or whatever they were moonshot is what they were calling it then. Right. And he asked, he called her and he said, "Will you come out and help me, you know, get the word out on this and try to get it started?" And so she flew out there and she spent like 20, 25 minutes with him in his office, just the two of them.
Yeah, so much overlap in terms of what Joe Biden's had to deal with and certainly what your mom has had to deal with. I think your mom to a much more extreme degree, but at the same time, no one knows loss quite like Joe Biden and certainly your mom. So they.
Well, I mean, Joe's lost.
Yeah, y'all are already about to make me cry. So.
Joe, I mean, he lost his wife and child, you know.
In a car accident.
In a car wreck first when he was barely 30,
you
know, and then losing Beau later.
Yeah.
It's just. I just watching him last night was just. First off, I just teared up looking at the women sitting behind him.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I posted this. I said, I hope I live long enough to see three women in that camera shot.
Yeah, there was a great photo of Kamala Harris walking through the Capitol hallways with, and then some light streaming through one of the doorways in an American flag back there. And it really looked so much like, and people have been drawing the comparison to that great Rockwell painting of the little black
little
girl walking and being escorted into class. And, you know, it was that sort of history that was being made right there. And just an incredible thing to observe. It's an amazing thing to be alive, to see this thing, an amazing time to be an American, especially coming out of the darkness, the dark ride of the previous 5 years. One of the things that jumped out to me, too, was the announcement, again, something that we already knew, those of us paying attention, but it was great to see it announced on the national stage in prime time on network television, that the Biden administration and the congressional Democrats cut childhood poverty in half. That is done. That is not a forecast. That is something they actually were able to achieve. They cut it in half by 50%, and they're going to be ordering the IRS to deliver paper checks to people across the country, people who have children and may not have the means to be able to provide for them. And that's a huge, huge step forward. And I remember when that news first came down, and I spent like half a day that day swatting down Red Rose, Hammer and Sickle people who were bitching about that achievement. Why? Because they said Joe Biden didn't cut it by 100%.
I mean, Jesus, that's never going to happen.
Well, I mean, my God, you're shitting all over cutting it in half because he didn't.
The president, not your fairy godmother.
There was not a single Red Rose or even a Bernie proposal that would cut childhood poverty by 100%. There's nothing along those lines. It's one of those things where they're just folding their arms and going, not good enough. For no other reason but then just be, you know, contrarians and dicks and assholes. But anyway, so that was, again, a massive achievement that I really sincerely hope people remember when they go into their polling places next year, especially. I hope this, you know, the momentum of this survives. And I think there's a strong chance there will be because we're talking about checks that are going to be distributed into the future. And I hope this provides an extra springboard for congressional Democrats to not only get reelected, but get elected in the first place. Because 2022, I mean, Rachel Bitticoffer was on Kimberly's show the other day, and she was saying, I don't know, it looks like the Republicans are going to take back Congress in 22. And it scared the
shit out of me. I don't like her anymore.
I don't feel that.
I don't think so, though.
I think
she may be wrong because of I know why she's partly saying this is why obviously history will say that. But two, with the voter suppression laws, I understand that there is going to be difficult. But people in Wisconsin got pissed off. People in Georgia got pissed off.
Yeah.
And they're going to be even more informed about it this time. Thank you, Stacey Abrams. Thank you, the DNC and others that will be promoting the fact that, hey, get your proper ID. It's going to be, people are going to take the day off of work this time. They're going to be like, fuck it, I'm going to get my hours up if I have to. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to, it's going to be figured out in a way that's, I think, just Wisconsin last year when they were like, when they shut down polling places and did all that, and they were like, fuck you, we're going out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing that we're not seeing this year, at least for now, and this could change as we move through 21 and into 22, but the one thing that we're not seeing this year that we actually saw a lot of in 2009 into certainly into 2010 was, you know, kind of mainstream liberal Democrats going, you know, I'm really disappointed in Obama. And here's why. And here's a laundry list of things that he could never have achieved in the first. Like, you know, he didn't close down Guantanamo, even though he signed an executive order on day one to close down Guantanamo, which is that the Democrats in Congress wouldn't finance it. Right. That was the problem. But yeah, I'm disappointed in Obama because he didn't close Gitmo. And we're not seeing that right now with Joe Biden. I mean, certainly we're seeing some red roses, but they don't count because they've withdrawn themselves from the political debate in the first place. They're no longer in the discussion.
I don't see their constituency expanding.
No.
Right now. It's seems fringe. To me, actually, that a lot of people are kind of like, well, you know, we listened to you and it didn't really work. And these other people seem to be getting shit done. So
yeah, yeah. Well, I look at, I don't know if you watched after the address and the B-roll footage of Joe Biden going around and greeting other members of Congress. But he spent a good long time with Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden and Bernie. I think Bernie Sanders is really, really happy with Joe Biden. And you could see it. You can see it. There are on many occasions I saw the first person to jump up and give Joe Biden a standing ovation was Bernie Sanders last night.
Though he's a corporatist now, Bernie.
The AOC, Red Rose people have turned on Bernie and AOC.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Like, they've turned on them like they're just sellouts now. And, what's always been funny to me about the Bernie bros and not supporters like I was, there's a difference, is because I would get into arguments with my old co-host with Nick about this.
Yeah.
He said, well, Bernie's, you know, he's not really a politician. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? He's been a politician his whole adult life.
Oh, God.
He started as a mayor, dude. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he was a congressman and now he's a senator. What the fuck are you saying? He's been in Congress for 35 years. It's like, he's a really smart politician.
Yeah, yeah. You don't achieve what Bernie...
They used to say that about Ron Paul. And I'm like, dude, the guy's been in the House of Representatives since before they laid the concrete. I mean,
right.
Yes, right.
He's not a career politician. Then what is he?
Exactly.
An Amway salesman? I mean,
I'm surprised our favorite Red Rose Hammer Sickle guy, whose name I'm not going to mention right now, I'm surprised he hasn't thrown his ridiculous hat into the ring. I'm surprised he hasn't thrown his swimming pool into the ring, as the case may be. You know, his socialist swimming pool.
Right.
You know, for the California recall specifically. Meantime, Jennifer Rubin remarked, and remember, Jennifer Rubin, longtime conservative Republican.
Yep.
She said last night with regard to Biden's address, Clinton-like in policy detail, soaring rhetoric on democracy, many pleas for bipartisanship, but mostly it was a return to decency, normalcy, American values. One almost believes there is nothing America cannot do with a sane, patriotic president of the United States. And I thought that was brilliantly said.
Decency, well, even Chris Wallace liked it.
Yeah. Decency, normalcy, American values. You know, this is how you connect with the quote unquote folks. The way Joe Biden did that last night, you don't scream at them and pander to their biases like Donald Trump did. I mean, Donald Trump spent 4 years yelling at the world. That's not how you connect with regular people. You connect with regular people through being dignified and humble. Lawrence O'Donnell nailed it last night after the address when he said, "We saw on display tonight Joe Biden's humility." And I think that's what really connects Joe Biden to the folks. And I think that's really going to benefit him. That's one of the reasons why his poll numbers are still so high, because he can do the thing where he's really, you know, Joe Biden on fire. And he started out and ended that way. But then through the meat, through the belly of the address, you know, with his elbows on the podium and just kind of leveling. Just, he was down in that tone of voice like this. Come on. Come on. You know.
Let's do this.
He was also, to me, he didn't attack anyone.
Yeah.
And when he spoke about Republicans, he talked to them like, hey, you there, my former coworker.
Mm-hmm. Well, he thanked McConnell for naming the one act after Bo.
Yeah. You notice McConnell not putting his hands together for 1 second last night.
Oh, no. He looked like someone had shoved a cactus up his ass.
I hypothesize that the reason he wasn't applauding anything, well, first of all, because he's a partisan Republican, of course, that's why he wasn't applauding. But I also hypothesize that maybe it was because it was the time of day when Mitch McConnell starts to return to liquid form. And I thought maybe he just doesn't have the structural integrity to be able to move his arms up and down like that. So just throwing ideas out there. I mean, it could be anything, but mostly the fact that Mitch McConnell's a dick. That's probably why.
Yeah. He can't stand being the minority leader. I think that just chaps him on a daily basis. He wakes up and rails about it, you know?
And I think he's terrified that Manchin and Sinema will eventually vote to at least modify the filibuster, and that terrifies the hell out of him.
I hope so.
Please, Jesus, I hope they do it.
I kind of expected Joe Biden to end his remarks last night by saying, and if Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema would get their shit together, we can do all of these things.
He's doing that behind closed doors. See, I see Joe as a combination of FDR and LBJ.
Yeah.
And the LBJ is behind closed doors because LBJ was he turned arms. He was like, you do what I'm saying or this, that, and the other thing.
That's right.
He was a tough motherfucker. And I see Joe going to Joe Manchin because I think Joe Manchin's strategy is that he's like, look, I'm trying to work with you Republicans, but you're forcing me to change my... I think that's Manchin's thing because of where he was elected, is I'm going to try to work with the Republicans. If they don't work with me, I'm going to revisit this whole filibuster thing, which is why Schumer hasn't brought anything to the floor yet, because they are doing negotiations with anybody that's a little wobbly, including Lisa Murkowski or others, that are wobbly on changing the rules or completely killing it. I think changing the rules so that you have to be there talking about it, and or you have to have 41 people on the floor from your party. You can't tag in and out. They have to be the same 41 people on the floor of the Senate for as long. And as soon as one leaves, boom, filibuster over. There's a combination of those that can happen. And I don't see certain senators, Josh Hawley, staying on the floor for very long because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's boring if you're there.
It's too much like work.
Yeah. It's work. Exactly. They don't want to do that. You know, no cell phones allowed. You have to pay attention. And the person speaking can only talk about what is the bill. Yada, yada, yada. You know, your staffers can't do it. You have to do it.
Yeah. And the thing with the filibuster, there's lots of energy to reform the filibuster, if not to completely eliminate it. But here's the thing. There's a very finite window in terms of actually going forward and meddling with the filibuster. And I don't think it can happen next year. I don't think it can happen in an election year. Just by the very nature of American politics, the timing of it would be bad, I think, for some Democrats, maybe in close red districts, for example. But the best way to get around Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema is to just elect more Democrats to the Senate.
Yep.
And then they become less powerful. And then we can do some of these things. Even if we don't have a filibuster-proof majority, we get to 55, 56 Democrats in the Senate. And holy shit, there isn't anything we can't do as far as the filibuster goes and so many other things. And it's about time that we rechannel some of that energy into making sure lots of Democrats get elected next year. And that's just such a huge priority for so many reasons. You know, I think the top of them being, if the Republicans gain control, like Rachel Bitticoffer is kind of forecasting, oh my God, talk about, you know, they're just going to welcome those insurrections back in by ballots, you know, not necessarily at the point of a gun or using various improvised weapons like fire extinguishers. They're just going to be invited back in. And I'm not saying maybe not in a literal sense, but the ideology possessed by these people, these Q adherents, these red hat Republicans, that's just going to be the name of the game in a Republican Congress, especially after what's happened this past year with the election and the insurrection and all the rest of it. It's just a disaster waiting to happen. We got to make sure that it doesn't happen.
I do want to say one thing about the historic president.
Yeah.
A precedent of the opposition party winning more seats back in the, you know, off year. I feel like a lot of the previous election rhetoric no longer applies because Georgia voters are mobilized. And we turned out in record numbers for a runoff vote, which Democrats always have lost those. I mean, pretty much any time anything's ever gone to a runoff in Georgia election history, the Republicans won. So it's like, I just feel like we keep talking about the demographic shift, and I really feel like it has arrived here, and people are fired up. The Republicans mm-hmm. know that they've got a losing ticket, and your favorite, Doug Collins, you remember Doug Collins? It rules, it rules, it rules. Yeah, he just put out a press release this week saying he's not going to run for anything this next cycle, because I think he looked at the demographics and looked at the stats and was like, I'm going to get my ass handed to me on a pizza, so I'm not doing this.
The old rules are the new rules, the new rules are the old rules. These were new rules.
These rules were here all along.
So articulate. By the way, I think, Jody, you posted this up on Facebook last night, the CBS snap poll in reaction to the speech. 89% of respondents, these are among all speech watchers, 89% said presidential in describing the speech. 89% also said caring. 84% not Karen, caring. That would be weird if it was Karen. 84% said inspiring, and 80% said bold. That's pretty amazing reaction there to sleepy Joe Biden, right?
Well, what's funny is it's not really that bold if you think about Democrats. Not that long ago. I mean, Clinton was more of a centrist, but you go to LBJ, you go to even Carter, for that matter. This is basically, he just went back to being a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, look, I want to talk about Rudy Giuliani. It's long past time we were talking about Rudy Giuliani here on the show. Yeah, big FBI raid. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more right after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Well, there's a lot of pride that comes with having your own home. It's the place where so many memories are made, right? It's the biggest investment you'll likely ever make, and it's a lot of work. That's where Angie comes in. Angie is on a mission to help you love your home by taking on all the projects that come with it. It's your personal home expert. When you download the Angie app, help is at your fingertips when you need it the most. Find a local professional to fix an emergency leak. If you're planning on a renovation, Angie matches you with the right contractor for the job. You can even schedule seasonal maintenance, so it's all on autopilot. Plus, you can see clear upfront pricing on hundreds of projects, so you know what you'll pay ahead of time. You can even pay your pro securely right through the app. Angie is your ally. It's all about trust. Handling your home has never been this straightforward. But now it is with Angie, your home for everything home. Download the Angie app today. That's Angie.
The Bob Seska Show.
I don't want to, but I try to silence you inside my head. You're the voice that makes me writhe when I'm abed. How you split me with your cunning every time while you have fed. You're the voice that colors my entire world red.
This is great. Who is this?
This is Megan McDuffie. A song called Wicked Thing. Brand new music from Megan McDuffie. MeganMcDuffie.bandcamp.com. I love it. This is, first of all, when I was getting this song ready to play on the show today, this is so great. When I was getting ready to play the song today, I was previewing it and I had my speakers turned up just a bit too loud, and my entire office turned into a subwoofer.
It was just, I so love big. The beginning because it's got that muted thing, but it feels like you're in the antechamber of the nightclub and you're like, okay, you guys got your IDs, everyone's ready. We got, you know, like, how do we look? Okay, let's go in. You know, it's got this like expecting feeling.
It does. It does. And the video is super disturbing. I'm just going to throw that out there. Go watch the video, MeganMcDuffie.com to see the video. That's two F's and two E's at the end of McDuffie. MeganMcDuffie.com. Also, MeganMcDuffie.bandcamp.com. And yeah, we're playing new music. We ran out of April 2020 music to play, and it's still April of 21. So just throwing in some new music here that we'll include in the May list of songs.
I know, I totally sent you the song this week.
Yeah?
The Song of the Siren, but we'll do it next week.
Yeah, okay. Well, no gigantic.
I do have an announcement,
right?
Though.
What's that?
It'll be quick.
Okay.
Compromat is no more.
Oh, no. What the fuck?
Yeah,
Is it a victim of the
guitar player? It's just a victim of the pandemic. He's just got like too much on his plate right now with you know, kids at home, and it's just like he has another band.
So I have a collector's item T-shirt that I got my second Pfizer shot in.
Yes, you do.
Did you wear your Compromat shirt, Jody?
I did.
It's really cool. When they wash, they get this, because it's like an old school 70s iron-on transfer, and it weathers in that really cool way where they sort of look suede. But
oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's full steam ahead on Astral Summer now. It is now my full-time thing. But
well, there you go. Perfect. Okay. Well, yeah, you can still use Compromat Band as your Twitter handle, right?
Has anyone ever changed their... Have you guys ever changed your Twitter handle and, like, transferred
my
over?
My handle I've never changed. No. I've just changed my name.
I can't change it because I'd lose my blue check. And I have a blue check. Hey, everybody, look at me. My blue check. That's what I did when I went in for a vaccine. I was like, there was a bunch of people waiting, and I wanted to go to the front of the line. So I was like, don't you know who I am? I'm Bob Seska. I have a blue check on Twitter. And no one thought...
I'm the only superhero in this line. Step aside.
No one thought it was funny. No.
You know, before we do go any further talking about vaccines, I do want to take a moment to say to anyone who has family in India or friends there I'm praying for you that what's happening over there is
horrific.
You know, it's another example, though, of like what happens when you neglect your healthcare system for years and years and years, and then a really testing crisis comes along. And
well, also Colombia, Brazil, they're also getting hammered with it because of with Brazil, it's just rank incompetence, destructive madness by Bolsonaro. And, you know, with India, they're coming up on what? I think they maybe surpassed 400,000 deaths, but they're
something
not fully
like
reporting everything. So it could
be much higher.
This
morning, the State Department issued a bulletin that sounds like a war zone where it's like, you know, basically Americans get the hell out of India.
Don't stay. Get out of there. Yeah.
Well, I hope there are not a lot of people in India or Colombia or Brazil listening to the Joe Rogan podcast on Spotify because, my God, he was talking about the other day, and this is right on the heels of Tucker Carlson's call to action, his marching orders for his disciples to go out and start targeting and harassing people who wear masks outside. It doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated or not. He just wants people to stop wearing masks outside because it's offensive to him, or at least he pretends
his
to be.
His face
offended.
Is offensive. He should wear more masks.
That's right. He's like, your mask is making me uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, who's the fucking snowflake now? You know, TV dinner boy.
Right.
You know, I mean, he is like the heir of the Swanson TV dinner fortune.
Yeah,
I mean, like, anytime you look at him, just think of like bullet hard green peas and dry fried chicken. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to live in fear, but we do want to carry firearms because of black people. You know, that's the Republican line now. It's like, no, we're not going to wear masks and get vaccinated because we don't want to live in fear, but we got to make sure we're packing it all time in case a terrorist comes up to us one of these days. You know,
I had a friend back in the late 80s who was gay, and he was like, I'm not going to do this whole safe sex and condoms thing because I don't want to live in fear of AIDS.
Oh, fuck.
And, you know, he didn't live in fear of AIDS. He died in Texas. Right about 5 years after that. It was like, okay, that was a terrible decision. Living in reality is not living in fear. Wearing a seatbelt is not living in fear.
Well,
Getting a checkup is not living in fear.
If somebody came up to me and said, take off your mask, I'm offended by it, I would look at whatever they were wearing and go, well, I'm offended by that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Perfect. That's a great way to handle it. Yeah, certainly.
It's like, you know what? Sorry, it's my fashion.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Rogan was saying on his show that it wasn't even just about masks. He was like, oh, fuck the vaccine. If you're young and healthy, you don't need the vaccine. Like, my kids, you know, I think one of his kids is 20 or something like that. He's like, oh, they didn't get vaccinated. And by the way, both of them got COVID. But it wasn't bad. It was just like it was like a cold and it went away. So not a big deal. So with kids who are young and healthy, well, they can get it. It's fine. Send them out. He said, if you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I'll go, no. Okay, well, look, Joe's podcast is like the Johns Hopkins of bro science. That's what you
Seriously,
basically get
I
there.
Always, I make yeah. it a point to get my medical advice from a guy who made his name in the world by with close-up shots of people eating yak's testicles and trying not to gag. For fuck's sake, Joe Rogan.
Yeah, fear factor.
I mean, go back to feeding people freshly hatched cobras.
Right. If you don't want to eat cobra testicles, that's because you don't want to fucking eat cobra testicles. It's not a matter of being scared of them. They're just gross. Hey. There's a difference between gross and something that's scary. Scary is a different avenue than just disgusting shit. And so much of that show, Fear Factor, was just, no, I don't want to eat disgusting
just a gross
shit.
Out.
Yeah, I don't want to feel what it tastes like to have worms in my mouth. Thank you very much. It's not that I'm scared of them. It's just they're going to make me want to vomit because they're worms.
You got to call today's show Cobra Testicles, please.
Okay, I'll think about it. That's certainly in contention. But here's the thing, in all seriousness, the science is still out on the long-term impact of being infected with COVID, whether you're symptomless or you have all the symptoms. There is still studying that needs to be done and which scientists are engaged in now, but the word is still out in terms of what kind of things can happen, you know, years down the line or even decades down the line. So if you're just letting your kids get COVID, you're fucking crazy. You're sentencing them to the possibility of long-term health repercussions.
Okay, we didn't know that chickenpox would cause shingles up until, what, 25 years ago?
Yep, exactly. That's a perfect
example.
And
I didn't fucking get shingles until I was 26 years old, so I'm really pissed off that I got it in the first place. But, yeah. I mean, nowadays it'd be like, okay, I don't want my kid getting chickenpox.
Well, in this case, with COVID, the CDC, and this is coming directly from the CDC website, one of the things they're looking at is something called multi-system inflammatory syndrome. And this can happen to adults, but they're also studying it in children. So it's technically called multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, or MISC, and it's associated with COVID-19. MISC is a condition where different body parts can become inflamed, including the heart, lungs, kidneys, brain, skin, eyes, or gastrointestinal organs. We do not yet know what causes MISC. However, we know that many children with MISC had the virus that causes COVID-19 or had been around someone with COVID-19. MISC can be serious, even deadly, but most children who were diagnosed with this condition have gotten better with medical care. So this is possibly a long-term health condition that your kids could have if they contracted COVID-19 mm-hmm. at some point. So this is the kind of thing, and this may or may not actually occur, but why would the fuck would you take the chance? I mean, what we're talking about, it's the simplest sacrifice to make. You wear a paper mask and you go to the CVS to get a vaccine. Big fucking deal. Again, like we were saying before, it's not like you're being drafted into the military. I mean, this is the sacrifices that previous generations made for the common good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the kind of shit that certainly the Red Hats don't want any involvement with anymore. We can't do that. Tucker Carlson, how dare you? How dare you tell me to do the easiest thing that I could possibly do?
I love your imitation of
school.
Him.
Yeah. Never notice. Never. How can they never act? You know, just,
so snotty. He's so snotty. That prep school scowl on his face is just ridiculous.
Still with the John Kruger haircut.
Yeah, exactly. You
know,
yeah.
But like there's a school in Miami, a private school, and the director is like, you know, telling her teachers not to come back to work if they've been vaccinated because she's believing what these anti-vaxxers are saying on Facebook, that like women are having menstrual irregularities if they've been around people who are vaccinated. And of course Naomi Wolf has just run with this because that's apparently her wheelhouse now, is vaccine hysteria and pseudoscience. But she was going, you know, they're talking about, like, in this newsletter that went out to faculty, she was like, you know, we don't want you. And this is a school that's like a vax-free zone. Like, it's Oh, God. And then there was a picture of them from, like, a Vanity Fair photo shoot or something, and she's wearing, like, these, like, $8,000 shoes. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're one of the many gullible suckers who takes Joe Rogan's bro science seriously, you're making a huge fucking mistake. Again, yeah. These are the things that are the easiest to do. You wear a mask, you get a shot. No problem. Watch the CDC. It's all instructions designed for a four-year-old to understand. So it's beyond dumb. It's beyond reckless. It's beyond irresponsible. And one of the reasons why we're all still talking about COVID-19 and talking about vaccinations is because people like Rogan, people like Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump, and all their disciples made it worse for everybody for a good long year.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to be here. We didn't have to be here. But
well, my question is why does Donald Trump want credit for a vaccine that's supposed to help prevent getting a hoax?
He wants to be called the father of the vaccine.
The father of the vaccine.
Like, dude, you barely acknowledge you're the father of Tiffany.
Yeah. No shit.
There you go. Okay, you know what? We got way off on COVID. Let's talk about Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy!
Rudy! It's so despicable.
He's about to go through some things.
That's right. Well, he's accused by a grand jury of lobbying the Trump White House on behalf of pro-Putin oligarchs and politicians in Ukraine. And, of course, the lobbying was in exchange for providing Rudy with dirt on Joe Biden, digging through all that shit. Well, the FBI agents also executed a search warrant Wednesday morning at the Washington area home of Victoria Tensing, a lawyer close to Mr. Giuliani who had dealings with several Ukrainians involved in the hunt for information on the Bidens. So it's what they can do now. Is they can cross-reference what Tensing's got on her computers with what Rudy's got on his computers and see if they match. And the other thing,
someone told me that's where the real dynamite is Tensing.
Yeah,
is it like Rudy was sleazy, but Tensing is like up to her earlobes in it.
Yeah, these guys are Victoria Tensing, Joe DeGeneva. These are all disciples of Donald Trump who were trying to weasel their way in to become kind of insiders, the new plumbers. Mm-hmm. And these guys, Tensing, Rudy Giuliani, and all the rest, they were kind of doing the same thing, but it was aimed more at, in fact, the plumbers did try to smear the Democratic candidates as well as plugging leaks. So one of the fun things about this story, I love this part of it, is the fact that you can guarantee that Rudy Giuliani doesn't know anything about properly deleting files.
No, of course not.
So what you're probably going to see is evidence coming out of Rudy destroying evidence. They're probably going to have forensic computer analysis and so on that determines that Rudy tried to clumsily delete emails, files.
It's on the cloud.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. On the cloud. Exactly. It's so they're going to, not only is he going to have the documents somewhere still stored on his computer, but also he's going to be nabbed for trying to delete those documents, which is also against the law.
The best is he's got an IMAP email program, only he's got it set so that it never deletes on the server. It only deletes on his computer.
Right.
Yeah, sorry, Rudy.
I think the best part, though, is his, like, ham-faced son out there mispronouncing politicized.
Yeah.
Well, and him saying the only computer they didn't take was Hunter Biden's. Like, if you're going into someone's home and to execute
a
search warrant for electronic things, they wouldn't leave anything behind. So it's like, and the only thing that's left that they didn't take was Hunter Biden's computer. Are you fucking kidding me? If it were there, they would have taken it, A, and two, it wasn't there. But come on.
Right. Like it's lying there with a sign on it that says, property of Hunter Biden.
Don't take that.
Boy. And the FBI's like, oh, no, not that one. Just leave that.
Yesterday, Molly Jong Fast posted the video of Andrew Giuliani talking outside Rudy's building. And
it's absurd.
Andrew is Rudy's son. And I tweeted in response to that. I said, why is Bobby Flay doing a Don Jr. Guys video? Oh, my God. Andrew Giuliani looks just like Bobby Flay. If Bobby Flay
were a dick. Bobby Flay doesn't look that piggish.
Well, you know what? Actually, Bobby Flay is kind of a dick. Chez and I used to have a nickname for his show. You know, Bobby Flay had a show where he goes around to, like, local food trucks and, like, one-ups them, like, shows them what they're doing wrong by improving their own recipes and making them better. And we used to call that Bobby Flay's dick move. That was our nickname for the name of that show. So in a way, Bobby Flay is kind of a dick, but he's not nearly as much of a dick as Andrew Giuliani, his doppelganger. Anyway.
It was making me, when they start bitching about the politicization of the Justice Department, like they didn't just prop fat old human hemorrhoid Bob Barr up there at the top of the Justice Department and squelch investigations and target people. It just...
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing about this investigation with Rudy. The Trump administration and Bill Barr, so talk about, once again, we might be done with Trump, but Trump isn't done with us. They tried to cover this up. They wouldn't issue the search warrants on Rudy Giuliani, despite what the grand jury determined. All right, you know what? We're way late for a second break. Got to take one last break, and we'll come back with more show right after these words.
Well, you've probably heard you should be eating more seafood. Ha, I'm way ahead of the curve. Yay. But maybe... the seafood counter is too intimidating, or you aren't quite sure how to prepare it. That's why you need Wild Alaskan Company. The founder comes from a long line of Alaskan commercial fishermen, so they're experts in getting the highest quality, sustainably sourced seafood right to your plate. They believe that what you eat matters. As a member of the Wild Alaskan Company, you'll receive a variety of delicious, perfectly portioned, wild-caught seafood delivered right to your door. With access to their team of fishmongers for any questions, recipes, or cooking tips, they're so confident in the taste and quality of Alaska's seafood. They offer 100% money-back guarantee. Change or pause your delivery date anytime. So easy. Right now, get $15 off your first box of wild-caught seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Stephanie. That's wildalaskancompany.com/Stephanie. $15 off your first box. Wow. wildalaskancompany.com/Stephanie.
Bob Seska.
Brand new music from Freakbase. Why Do I Keep Falling in Love with You is the name of the song. Freakbase.com. Man, Freak's been busy throughout the entire pandemic releasing new music. About one song, one new single every month. And it reminds us to make sure we support all of our independent bands here on the show because, man, they haven't been able to tour for a long, long time. So make sure to buy all their music, all the music we play here in the show. Make sure to pick up a copy for yourself. Download recklessly. BobSeska.com/music if you have a band or if you're a recording artist and you want to submit to the show. We are going to be playing, resuming all new music. In fact, we started today with all new music for the month of May, getting a start a little bit early here because we ran out of April songs. Okay, getting back into things here. Oh, shit. This kind of fell under the radar a little bit. But the New York Post got caught publishing and then deleting a deliberately fake news story. And in fact, the reporter who was allegedly forced to write it, Laura Italiano, she tweeted late Tuesday afternoon that she had resigned from the newspaper. She said the Kamala Harris story, basically the story was about how Kamala Harris is handing out welcome kits that included her book to migrant children in a shelter in Long Beach, California. Another fucking stupid made up story like a Joe Biden wanted to take your meat. It was like this, the same minds who came up with the stupid meat story must have come up with this one, too. But the reporter said she resigned her position. And then she said, the Kamala Harris story, an incorrect story I was ordered to write and which I failed to push back hard enough against, was my breaking point. The Post's major revisions to the article earlier on Tuesday came after the inaccuracies had already spread widely in conservative circles. How many times have we seen this happen? I used to cover it extensively back in 2013 when everyone was getting the Edward Snowden story wrong and misrepresenting what he was doing and how he was doing it, what the documents actually said. And so we've seen many, many examples of this happen before where the disinformation gets out and then they try to reel it back in. But it's too late because the lies circulate the planet several times before the truth gets its pants on. And that's just the way it is. And that's the tragedy of it. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the New York Post kind of proceeded that way. Like, fuck it. We'll just put the story out there and we can retract it 24 hours, 48 hours later. And it doesn't matter because it'll still be out there. So it's a win-win. We look like we have journalistic integrity while at the same time the fake story is out there and it's circulating and it's given new life every time an AM talk radio person or a Breitbart person or a Fox News person repeats it on air. So that's how this shit works. And my God, you know, this is another reason why we need to relentlessly call this shit out. Because if we don't, we just allow it to happen. I can't tell you the number of times over the past couple of months I've had to have this lecture with fellow liberals who are like, why are you paying attention to the New York Post lies? Or why are you paying attention to Ben Shapiro and giving them air? And I gotta go, well, look, since when did we forget about the idea, the notion of sunlight being the best disinfectant? I guess Donald Trump, when he was talking about a cure for COVID, bastardized that entire metaphor. But it's true. It is. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. We got to shine the bright Klieg lights on this fucking madness. Otherwise, it's just going to keep going. And here's another example. You guys familiar with Jack Posobiec? David, do you know who Jack Posobiec is?
No, I know exactly who that little twerp is.
We're in this 24/7, always covering it and following it. I would bet you that most Democrats don't know, nor do they care who Jack Posobiec is. He's not a common topic of conversation on Twitter or Facebook or social media. But he just surpassed 1.2 million follows on Twitter. Jack Posobiec, without any help from the left, without a whole lot of attention from, you know, me giving him air or whatever. And you know what that indicates? That indicates that these people become famous with or without us.
Yep.
And that's the case with Posobiec.
Where's Nick Lutzko when we need a Jack Posobiec song?
By the way, Nick Lutzko did a brand new song about Joe Biden taking your meat. And it is classic. It's Nick Lutzko basically finding all kinds of hiding spots for your meat. So Joe Biden won't get your meat. It's so fucking funny.
I've got a place where Nick Lutzko can hide his meat. Sorry.
You should
David Luiz.
Tweet that at him. I dare you to tweet that at him.
I don't want to creep him out.
Well,
so handsome. Anyway.
He is immensely funny, and he's really, really weird. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, I saw there was another boat parade this past week.
Boat parade.
Yeah.
Looking for directions to the boat parade.
That's also Nick Lutzko. Okay, I think we're done here. I want to talk about, I've got a little bit of advice for Lauren Boebert. We're going to talk about that. There's some shitty news from Los Angeles about DDT.
Am I being poisoned by that now?
You might be.
Oh, cool.
You might just be. So we're going to talk about that.
See why I'm double masked, people? I wear two masks.
That's right. Let's see what else. Oh, Wayne LaPierre. I want to rant about Wayne LaPierre. And a little bit of news for our own T-Rex. I've got some fun news coming up for T-Rex.
Uh-oh.
This will be great. And it's specifically related to T-Rexes. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more on the Postmortem Show on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Hey, bring them on. More subscribers. If we get another 20 subscribers here, I'm going to make a third video. I still have to make the second one, of course. But if I get 20 more, I'm going to make a third video. And it's, ultimately it was a pain in the ass to make the video, but so much fun. It was a fun thing to do. And apparently lots of people are having fun watching it. So that's all happening on our Patreon page. If you want to get on the action, don't miss out. Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or very simply BobSeskaShow.com. Either one will get you there. And if you sign up for $5 a month, you can get two postmortem shows a week. Sign up at $10 a month, you get two postmortem shows plus the Friday after party with me and Kimberly. And if you sign up at $15 a month, you get all that crap. Plus, we take out all the commercials for you. How about that shit? Everyone's doing it. Why aren't you? See, now I've just resorted to guilt trips. It's my Catholic upbringing. See what I do for you, and this is the thanks I get. You not subscribing on Patreon. Okay, meanwhile, David Ferguson can be found at astralsummer.bandcamp.com. That is his music project. Next week, we will premiere a brand new single from Astral Summer, and I can't wait. It's really exciting. It's a cover of what band, David? I always forget.
It's a cover of This Mortal Coil,
an 80s
band, covering Tim Buckley.
Excellent. Okay, that's coming up
Jeff
next
Buckley's
week.
Buckley's father.
Jody Hamilton is at sexyliberal.com. Okay, folks, Have a great weekend. We'll see you on the after party. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's despicable.